Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, podcast audience. This is Kenny Hodge, producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio, with a PRS this morning, a.k.a. Postal Rap Session. Now, this morning's session, first of all, let me say to everyone, I know that most of my podcast audience was expecting my rebuttal to that nonsense that my local and the national put me through as a branch president, but my commitment to the craft far outweighs that nonsense situation. So what I've done is I'm going to address the national and the local charges another show. But today I have the distinct pleasure and honor to have with me senior OWCP consultant with Blue Collar Federal Injury Consultants, Brother Anthony Norris. Brother Norris is with us. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
I'm just saying, top of the morning. Thanks for having me this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, me and the whole podcast audience, as I like to say, if you're happy that Mr. Norris is with us this morning, clap your hands, please. Okay, so we got the hand clap of approval.
Thank you.
Hey, listen. Again, Brother Norris always comes to us with enlightening, and I do mean enlightening, experience about understanding the system when federal employees get injured. Now, because I work at the post office, I work a lot with him there, and I refer a lot of people there. But Mr. Norris, again, give us a quick once over of what it is that as a consultant you provide for injured employees, please.
Okay, no problem. First, good morning, listeners. I appreciate you guys tuning in this morning. And hang on one second, I'm getting an echo. Let me get off the Bluetooth. Is this clearer for you, Ken?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Once again, thanks for having me on the show. And just to give you guys a snapshot of what it is that I do. I eat, sleep, and breathe Fed Comp, and I work with federal employees all across the country from the beginning to the end of filing a claim for an injury. So whether you work for the post office, whether you work for the FBI, the IRS, TSA, none of that matters to me. It's all the same. Reason why I'm passionate about what I do and helping these people is because most of the time when you guys get hurt on the job, you have no idea where to go, who to call, what to do, what to expect, and so on and so forth. And when you get just a little bit of headway and things don't go your way, no one's there to advise you and guide you through the process. So no matter if it's a CA1, a traumatic injury, occupational injury, I'm there with you from step one to step 10. And I take care of things administratively with you as well as medical. So I work with physicians across the country as well as the administrative component with the Department of Labor. So in a nutshell, that's basically what I do.
And I tell the postal employees that I come in contact with that to have an advocate to make sure you get what you're entitled to is a wonderful thing. Because if you work for this company that we and I know as a post office, I don't know if it's they don't know or they don't care to share that information. But I guarantee you, after working with Brother Norris, you're going to hear some things pertaining to claims that you probably never heard before. I've been working with claims in the post office through management in the union for over 28 years. And again, it was eye-opening to hear some of the information they put out. Because I'm telling you, folks, your job if it's federal, and again, I can only speak for the post office where I've been, will not tell you this stuff. And it's important that you know it,
right,
because I don't want you to think that you're taking advantage of the system. You're just working the system. And Brother Norris,
right,
on that one form that that I seem to run into a lot of questions that I direct your way is the CA2 form. I mean, just
right,
a little time.
Let's
again, and we rehash that again. I really would appreciate it.
Sure. CA2 is a more popular injury than others. And just for the sake of those who don't understand, CA2 is an occupational injury. That's someone who's been working on a job for up 10 years or even a handful of years doing some type of repetitive duty that causes wear and tear on the body part. You have the right to file a claim if your job is aggravating a body part, or if you even had a pre-existing injury. Let's say you played football before you went to work for the post office and your job duties is aggravating an injury from when you played football. You have the right to file a claim. But there is a right and a wrong way to do it. Specifically, on the CA2 form, box 11 and box 12 are very, very key when you are filling out a CA2. Box 11 is the date of injury. Now, the way the law is written in you guys' favor is real simple. If you go to work one day and as you're performing your duty, you know, let's take a shoulder part, for example. Your shoulder's bothering you, but you work through it. Say, hey, I'll just take some ibuprofen and keep working. A year later, you know, that shoulder's bothering you again as you're performing your duties. You have the right to file a claim up to 3 years past the first day that you recognize that you've had some type of ailment or the job is aggravating that injury. Now, the first thing you want to do, you want to notify your supervisor, let them know that, hey, I am experiencing some pain when I perform certain tasks. Okay, so that's noted. Next, you want to call me, and then I am going to talk to you about what the procedures are, and I'm going to give you a snapshot of it on this call today. You want to go see a DOL-credentialed physician. That's very, very key. A lot of people go to their family doctors and NOVA, Concentra, and all these other government-friendly physicians, if you will, that don't have your best interest in mind. So, and most of those government physicians don't service CA2 applicants anyway. They only service CA1 or traumatic experience people. Anyway, get back to my point. With that CA2, you want to go see a DOL credentialed physician. Okay, that's all I work with. If they're not a DOL credentialed physician, then the DOL does not recognize their work. So it'll fall on deaf ears. Their paperwork is useless. Okay, first and foremost.
Hey, Brother Anthony,
so coming with me.
When you say DOL, what is DOL, brother?
Department of Labor. I'm sorry, guys. Department of Labor credentialed physician. That is key. So you go and you have that exam. Tell the doctor, okay. And I'll be right there with you from beginning to end anyway. So we'll start the process by filling out an application. We'll do an injury statement. Then we'll set an appointment to see that physician. He will do an evaluation. After he does his evaluation, that is when we will complete a CA2. Most people make the mistake of filing the CA2 before they go to a physician. Now, why is that important? Because going back to box 11, the date of injury, once we establish what the date of injury is, box 12, it asks the question, when did you realize that that injury was work-related? Well, most people put the same date in box 11 and they put the same date in box 12, which that is wrong. Most of the time, your date of injury and your exam date will be different dates. Okay? So box 12 is your exam date. And the reason why you aren't qualified to answer that question is because you are not a physician and you can't self-diagnose yourself. So the doctor, when he does his evaluation, that exam date goes in box 12. And when he writes his narrative, he's going to tie your work-related injury into his narrative. So when we turn that in, and when you file your claim and turn that into your agency, which your agency, which I'm going to cover that in just a minute, has 10 working days to file their CA2 on your behalf, that's the proper way to file a CA2. So right there, I see a lot of mistakes just in those two boxes alone. And if those two boxes are not
okay, you're kind of breaking up, brother.
First thing to claim to them. Sorry about that. I am driving, so I may be going through a dead spot. Is that a little better?
Okay. Yeah, we're good. A lot better, yes.
Okay. So I see it all the time. So when a claims examiner gets your CA2, that's the first thing they look at is box 11 and box 12. And they're gonna know right away if this is being filed properly. And if it's not, they're going to deny you right off the rip. And they're not going to tell you specifically why it was denied. They'll say it wasn't filed properly or it wasn't filed in a timely fashion. So that's important. That's why it's important to have someone like me who knows these things and can walk you through the process from beginning to end.
Hey, brother, I heard what you just said on that CA2, but let me ask you this. If I take my CA2, if I contact you, I go see the doctor, I have my CA2 filled out, but the agency, the post office, refuses to send my CA2 in. What rights do I have, and what recourse can I have to that?
Okay, no problem. A lot of people get upset because agencies are notorious for that, and agencies are also notorious for having you file the wrong claim. But being that we're talking about a CA2, let me address that. If you go before, first of all, those who've never seen the CA2, if you go online and Google CA2, it's four pages. The first page is what you complete, okay, in its entirety. The second page is for the agency to complete. The agency has 10 working days to complete their section and then file it with the Department of Labor. The third page, which is most important, is the receipt page. The receipt page, when you file a CA2, when you go to your supervisor, I advise all of my clients, you stand there and have them sign that receipt page. Do not walk off without that receipt page. Once they sign and date it, that is your proof that you file or that you're filing a CA2. Page 4 will back everything I'm saying on this call. Now, that agency has 10 working days to file that CA2. If they do not, you can file a grievance because you have a receipt page as proof. If you go to page 4, I want to say midways down the page, it'll tell you that your agency, your supervisor, can get in a lot of trouble for impeding your right to file a work-related injury claim. And your supervisor could face up to a $500 fine and up to a year imprisonment for impeding you on your right to file a claim. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to page 4 immediately, and you'll see what it is that I'm sharing with you guys.
So if I can, if I summarize or try to regurgitate what you just said to me, if an employee files a claim, and again, I was right there with her because I've been talking to you for a while, and I made sure she stood right there and got her receipt page. So her next course of action is to file a grievance because the supervisor failed or is impeding her attempt to get assistance. Well, the supervisor is impeding her attempt to file a claim. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
because
I recommend
again,
they do.
Because I've got
if
that.
If you want to have a union steward such as yourself and you want to document that. Okay. So when you reach out to the Department of Labor, you have proof and a witness that your supervisor is refusing to submit your workers' comp claim. So you want to track it on your calendar. If you file that claim, I'm sorry, when you go see the supervisor, you want to track 10 working days, and you want to come back around and see if that was filed. If not, then that's where you want to proceed with, okay, well, why my file wasn't claimed? I mean, why my claim wasn't filed? You want to document everything because you want to protect your right as an injured worker to file that claim, and anything that the agency is doing against you, they will be, for lack of a better term, dealt with on the back end.
Okay, because, again, I'm going to probably start that process through the Department of Labor. because I've got one or two folks who have senior doctors come back in with the CA2 in Columbus post office. I don't know. It just seems like no matter what it is, they got to make it super difficult. And I was there when I spoke to the supervisor, and I said to him, I'm not asking you to authorize a claim. I'm just asking you to accept it. If somebody's going to deny it, how about it not be you? You send it in, okay. And if the Department of Labor don't like what you have, or workers comp don't like what you have, then they'll deny it. But how about if you don't do that? And he caught a little attitude and stormed off to see the MDO, and I guess she probably furthermore backed him up on, we're not following this. But this happened to the same person twice, but this time, the second time, I was standing there, and we got our receipt showing that he didn't that he received it. So we'll take it to the next step today when I get to work.
Okay. And if you need my assistance with that, I'm definitely here to help with that. But let me say this to you guys, too, just so you'll know. The agency can come across like they hold all the power. That is absolutely false. One, the CA1, a traumatic injury, the burden of proof to refute a claim does fall on the agency. They can say, okay, here's a traumatic injury. It wasn't work-related. They'll lose most of the time because traumatic injuries are pretty obvious. On CA2's occupational injuries, the burden of proof falls on the claimant. And what that simply means is the claimant has to prove that it's a work-related injury. And when you put the cart before the horse, like trying to file a CA2 before you go see a physician, you're already doing it wrong, and you're going down the road of denial. Okay? So for the most part, what I tell people is the DOL doesn't mind CA2s and agencies CA2s because, one, no benefits are released until you proof up. And what does that proof up mean? That means I've been to a physician. He writes a comprehensive narrative the way the DOL requires the narrative to be written that my injury is work-related. I'm going to therapy because most of the time it takes about anywhere from 30 to 45 days, maybe 60 days, to get a CA2 open and accepted. In the meantime, you must be following the doctor's orders while the Department of Labor is reviewing your case. So that has nothing to do with the agency. And most of these supervisors have no idea what the process is. It's not coming out of the agency's budget. If anything, if the doctor takes you off from work, the agency may have to hire someone or repurpose someone to handle your duties while you're out. But outside of that, the agency doesn't have the power that most people think that they have when it comes to filing their claim.
And I'm glad that's a very interesting point because, like I said, the agency, again, in this case here, I speak very negatively, consistently about Columbus Post Office. But when I say that, believe me, they work hard at making sure we say negative things about them, if that makes any sense. But again, and the simple case of not wanting to file a claim or trying to buffalo employees out of filing claims for hints of, well, we might have to do a disciplinary package on you. I just want to put everybody to understand, if you work for a federal agency, these rules are in effect for your protection. Now, if you let somebody take away your protection, I don't know what to say to you. But I'm trying to tell you, they don't have the authority or the right to stop that. And go ahead, brother.
Let me give everybody just a little bit of history lesson and something to Google. Back 102 years ago, there was a law that was enacted by Congress called the Federal Employees Compensation Act of 1916. This law was passed in 1916 to protect all federal employees when it comes to work-related injuries. Fast forward 102 years later, there's been maybe two major changes in 102 years that's for you guys' benefit. In 1974, you had a continuation of pay added to CA. Here's another cool fact. In 1974,
you had the right.
Yeah.
You broke up after
I'm
that.
I'm breaking up again?
Just a little bit. When you said after 1974, you said something about continuation of pay, and I didn't hear the back end of it.
Okay, in 1974, federal employees, they added continuation of pay to CA1, which means for the first 45 days that you're injured, you get 100% of your pay before the Department of Labor takes over the claim. Also in 1974, you have the right to choose your own position when you get hurt or if you want to file a CA2 or whatnot. You have the right to choose your own position. You do not have to go to the company doctor. You'd be surprised how many people that I've talked to over the years that never heard of FECA, Federal Employees Compensation Act of 1916. Now, one of the things I do is I empower all my clients not to be confrontational with the agency, not to be confrontational with the Department of Labor. My job is to expose you and help you understand what your rights are as an injured worker. And you guys have more power than you realize. And the Federal Employees Compensation Act of 1916, once you understand it, you'll feel a lot differently about filing a claim. Now, let's talk about that just a little bit more in depth. Why did that even come about? Well, it started with Congress people. Most of the time, those guys had their wives working in the office. They had their families working in the office, holding various positions. So when they were injured, they're like, well, hey, we're lawmakers. We work for the federal government. We're supposed to have the best protection in the land. And so here comes the Federal Employees Compensation Act. Well, over time, it rolled all the way to all federal employees, including postal workers. But no one is explaining that to you guys, and you don't know it, so you don't know what type of power that you have. When it comes to medical benefits, you got almost the same as the president of the United States. You have the best in the land. So when you understand that, these agencies, they don't have the power. You have power. And these same supervisors that are giving you guys issues and problems, all that changes when they get hurt on the job. So I dealt with a lot of supervisors like, man, you know, I thought this the way things were supposed to go. No. When you become hurt, the system by design, you become public enemy number one. So it's not personal. It's not an insurance company that exists that wants to pay claims. Not a one. So what is the job of an insurance company? Delay, deny, don't pay. So they're going to find every reason in the book to try to impede you. But at the end of the day, working with someone such as myself that knows the laws, that knows your rights, that knows the procedure and the protocol, we're going to get through that and get the benefits that you rightfully deserve and what you've earned. So what I'm willing to do is the people that you're having issues with, we can sit down and we can go through each one of those claims, and I guarantee you I'm going to turn them around and get them on the right track so they get to the benefits that they've earned. This stuff is easy to me.
Hey, man, and again, you're like a godsend to the federal employees because, you know, anytime, again, you've got a person who understands the rules and regulations such as yourself and is willing to share that information with people so that, you know, again, to empower us all. I think that's beautiful. And one other thing I want to put out is that working with Mr. Norris' company don't have as a consultant, doesn't have an out-of-pocket cost to the Pulse employee. And I think that's important to touch on also.
Right. So let's talk about, okay, well, here's this guy who knows this backwards and forwards. How does he get paid? It's real simple. We created a model, I want to say close to 7 years ago now, that by design, it doesn't cost you anything. All right? Now, we're compensated by managing your claim, and we charge the physician for managing your claim. So there's two parts to this. One, the medical doctor that you go see when you get hurt, you see him once a month for evaluation and then for a reevaluation every 28 days. I deal with musculoskeletal injury. So chances are you're going to be prescribed some type of a therapy regimen. So you'll see a DC two, three, one time a week. Doesn't matter to me. Because you see him the most, and because he's interacting with you the most, and he has the most paperwork, I charge that clinic a percentage of the monies that are earned from the Department of Labor for managing your claim. So the essential services that I'm providing is not a kickback. I'm actually, all the notes that he writes, he sends to my office. All the narratives that the doctor writes, he sends to my office. I'm the one that's on the phone with the Department of Labor talking your claim on your behalf. So when the Department of Labor needs some type of correspondence, when they send it to you, you send it to me, and I'm basically your voice. I'm your power of attorney, if you will. So without me, the doctor couldn't properly manage your claim. Without me, the agency isn't going to manage your claim. So you need someone who can provide that essential service of managing your claim while you're going through the process of getting better so you can get back to the quality of life that you have. So by setting it up that way, you as an injured worker, you don't come out of pocket for office visits. You don't come out of pocket for evaluation. The only time that you may come out of pocket is for a diagnosis. If the doctor needs a diagnosis, guess I'm going to ask you to use your private insurance. Thank you. But your private insurance, there'll probably be a copay attached to it. But we need that scientific proof to back the doctor's diagnosis of whatever your injury is. That is the only time. Outside of that, and we have it in writing, that you will never receive a bill from the MD. You'll never receive a bill from the DC to get the help that you need so you can be healthy again. So at the end of the day, what I tell people, it's hard not to call me or hard not to use me because it doesn't cost you anything. But it could cost you everything if you go deal with somebody who does not know how to properly navigate this process.
Hey, I tell you, I really appreciate this information, brother. Hey, you know what? In fact, to the audience, I'll be getting with Brother Anthony tomorrow. They're going to have a seminar in town. I got some flyers I'm going to be putting around the Columbus Post Office, and I'm going to send some down to some of the folks I know in other offices also, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Again, if helping this individual grow his business and his business is taking care of you, That's a no-brainer, folks. That's a no-brainer. You can have someone in your corner who takes care and tracks your claim so that you don't have to concentrate that hard on that. That's what they do. And let me tell you, and again, they do it at no cost to you.
Right.
It doesn't get any better than that, folks. It really doesn't.
I look forward to any questions that you guys may have. So, please ask away.
Well, right now, I got no questions coming in. So what we're going to do is, we got about 2 more minutes left today. So we'll get ready to sign off. But I want to tell everybody, please, look around the post offices. You're going to see the flyers that's posted up there. And remember, this isn't anti-anybody or anything. This is just pro-you. Making sure you get the right guidance, you get the right advice. And just one last thing. I noticed lately when I talk to folks about CA2, people look at me like we're running a scam. Well, let me tell you about this. I'm not a scammer. I understand the rules and regulations of this because for some reason, Brother Anthony, folks cannot grasp the concept of I got hurt somewhere else. I exacerbated that illness or that injury I've had from a totally different place, and I can still follow CA2. Most people look at that as, Ken, are you running a scam? No, I promise you, this is no scam. And I like to use, and I love the way when you introduced it, you said you were a football player, totally outside of what you do right now. But if your repetitive motion continues and it causes you additional aggravation, then you can file a CA2 and have that claim picked up by the post office. Again, the burden of proof on that CA2 is on you. So once you prove it, either one of two things, you're going to prove it or you're not going to prove it. But again, it's no scam and this is totally legitimate.
Right. And to piggyback that, let me say this to you, and not to repeat myself, but I think it's important. One, you guys have the best protection in the land, including pre-existing injuries. Now, let me give you another example. Let's say it's the weekend. You're out dancing with your spouse, having a great time, and you twist your ankle on a Saturday night dancing. You go to work on Monday, and whatever your job description is aggravating the hell out of that ankle. So you're like, well, I'm going to try to get through the day, keep working. Next day, job is aggravating that ankle. File a claim because your job is aggravating a pre-existing condition. That's how much power that you guys have. Now, although that injury did not happen on the job, you were not at work. The fact that your job is aggravating it, you have the right to file a claim. And I love to dive into more examples like that once you guys come out and we have to do another call-in where we do all Q&A, or you guys attend one of the seminars, and I give you all types of examples on what you can do. Now, another thing I believe in is you have to take my word for it, because I'll show it to you by law what you can do. So I'm not making this stuff up. And another thing, you guys are the ones that's going home hurt every night. You're the one that's going home dealing with that injury. So out of fear, you're letting the agency and coworkers deter you from getting medical attention for a hurt body part. Now I'm looking at you some type of way, because as you get older and the body doesn't heal quite the way it did when it was young, these are ailments that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Do yourself a favor and get the medical attention that you need, especially using a service like mine where it doesn't cost you anything.
Well, I really appreciate you taking your time out, Brother Norris, this morning and speaking to the podcast audience. I'm going to ask everybody, let's get on board. And when I say get on board, let's take care of ourselves. Because let me tell you, the post office is a job. And again, I know Anthony covers all of my comments about the post office. It's a job that's designed to be a career for you. Okay? So if you're doing repetitive motion, and again, I'm not saying fake or make up anything, and I got to keep saying that with respect to the CA2. I'm saying just tell the story as it happened. You got hurt. You came to work. Constant repetition exacerbated your situation, and now you're filing a claim. Again, at a CA2, you have to prove it, and if you're successful in proving it, then you get the benefits from OWCP. But don't let people talk you out of that. And it's very important to understand pre-existing conditions. So when your supervisor look at you and tell you, well, that didn't happen here, I simply tell them, I never said it happened here. I said it got worse while I'm here. So, hey, I appreciate you, Brother Anthony. I'll be passing out your flyers.
Can I add one last thing?
Can I add one last thing? By all means.
Okay, two things. One, we gave them my telephone number, which I'm going to cover that in a minute. But let me say this to your listeners as well. I do not support fraudulent claims. Now, what I hadn't covered on this call is that when you hire me as your consultant, although it doesn't cost you anything, there is a packet that you complete. And in the packet, you sign a disclosure of legitimate injury. If you do not have a legitimate injury.
You got to start over. You broke up. All right. Start that again with the packet, please.
Okay, sir. Okay, with the intake packet that when you hire me as your consultant, there is a disclosure that states that you are filing a legitimate injury. I do not work with people who file fraudulent claims and trying to get over on the government. I don't play that game. I'm subject to call the OIG on you myself. There are too many people that need the services of someone like myself that I do not play games, okay? So if you need my help or you have a legitimate injury, I'm here to help you. All right? So you sign a disclosure stating that. Secondly, you guys can call me directly. My cell phone number is 713-256-2089. Once again, that's 713-256-2089. And I'm Anthony Norris with the Blue Collar Federal Injury Consultant. I'm here to help.
And one thing I will say, Brother Anthony, that I don't think I've ever, and I've probably referred a lot of people to you, I don't think I've ever referred somebody to you that when it, from the time I sent you a text message to, about somebody, within hours, day, night, it doesn't matter. That is the first thing that really that people really, really enjoy or admire. We have a conversation with me about 8 o'clock. You tell me you're injured, you're having problems, whatever, and I tell you, hey, listen, I'm going to put you in touch with a consultant. That's not postal. They're federal. And from the time I put you in touch with somebody, I'm always amazed at the quick response. And again, that kind of response show people that, again, you're very confident about what you do and you're here to help them. So I do want to give you kudos on that, because that's the first thing most people come back to me with. Yo, but when I finished talking to you, Ken, but before I got back to my work position, I got a text from Brother Norris telling me to call him. So, I mean, you got a real advocate here, folks, who want to make sure, a real consultant, excuse me, who want to make sure that you get what you're entitled to. And that's all this is about. If you're not entitled to it,
right,
the brother's not going to give it to you. But if you are entitled to it, no matter how simple it may seem or how much you might think you're not, go through the process and see. And learn. You be truthful while filling out your forms, and it's going to be one of two things, accept or deny. But if they deny it, again, you haven't lost anything. If they accept it, then you're in line for quality benefits. So, right. Again, we got Brother Norris here working with us. Actually, you got Brother Norris working for you. Okay, so again, give it a try. And what I would like to say on behalf of Brother Norris, and again, Brother Norris doesn't work for the post office. Okay, so this is an agency, a federal agency. If you try the service and you like the service, word of mouth is no better advertising. And again, right, I'm not asking you, we're not advertising for money now. We're advertising that there is a consultant that's available to help navigate you through the claim process. That's the advertisement.
Right. Don't bring any checks. Don't bring cash. Don't bring anything. Because we do not charge for our service. So just call me if you have any questions. If you think about filing a claim, call me. If you filed a claim already, call me. If you have a denied claim, call me. Doesn't cost you anything. But it can cost you everything if you don't call me.
So, hey, Brother Norris,
thanks again, Mr. Hodge, for having me on.
I appreciate the time. And again, I'll be looking forward to you getting me those flyers. And once I get them, I'll put them up around the office as much as postal management will allow me. But more importantly, I'm going to help get the word out that there's a consultant out there that's here for you, folks. And again, he's going to be domiciled big time in the Columbus, in the Ohio area. So Cincinnati, Cleveland, Akron, Dayton,
Columbus, again, Dayton.
Oh, definitely Columbus. I hold a banner for Columbus. All you offices, again, I want to say this up front. This has nothing to do with union activity or postal activity. This is a consultant agency that I came in contact with that's designed to help federal employees. That's what we have right now. Okay, so again, this
right,
isn't a union activity. This isn't a postal activity. This is a employee activity to help make sure you get the claims and the benefits that you're entitled to. Anything else, Brother Norris?
No, that's it, young man. I like to come back, and what I like to do is cover certain topics. We spend a little time on C2, C1. Let's talk about protocol, expectations, agency issues. Let's really inform the people week to week, if necessary, just to empower them so they know what to do and feel more confident about, the entire process. I'll be
hey,
more
my
happy
brother,
with
them. Listen, we'll get offline, and if anybody knows me, they know at this point in my life, I love cutting my microphone on. So we'll get online, and you and I will set up maybe a weekly podcast if you want. I'll look at what your schedule is, and we'll put something in place that we have constant information flowing to the people.
Exactly.
All right, my brother. Good. Well, you have a great day, and we'll look for some feedback.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, brother. All right.
Bye.